This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of White Sox Nation Podcast. This is your host, Jack Thiel, and today we've got one loaded and exciting show for everybody listening here. We're going to recap the opening weekend against the Detroit Tigers, things we liked, things we didn't like, some players that stepped up, some players that you still have more questions about, the latest trade rumors going on with the White Sox, how that the White Sox could rejuvenate their rotation, but it might cost a very talented young player. And we're also going to take a look at this week's games, including the home opening stand, including home opener. That's going to be Tuesday against the Seattle Mariners. So with that being said, let's go right into the show. So the White Sox started things off in Detroit, Michigan, against their rivals, the Detroit Tigers. The White Sox, I think it's important to notice that before this season, they put Yoan Moncada on the 10-day IL. They believe he's going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. And, of course, Lance Lynn will be out. Lance Lynn will be out for about 3 months, which brought the signing of Johnny Cueto to the White Sox. So, with that being said, the White Sox lost their opening day game against the Detroit Tigers 5-4, where bullpen kind of fell through. The White Sox took an early 3-0 lead, courtesy of RBI singles from Jimenez and Pollock, and an RBI double from Robert. But the Tigers tied things in the bottom of the eighth. Andrew Vaughn came in, or I should say, went to bat, and hit a go-ahead home run in the ninth. But Liam Hendricks struggled out of the bullpen, giving up a home run to Eric Haas. And then Javier Baez singled to right field to walk it off for the Tigers. And for the bullpen, things were smooth sailing as Lucas Giolito threw 4 scoreless innings. Giolito left the game with an injury. It is believed he will miss a couple of starts and possibly will result in a 10-day IL stint. There has been no word yet what the decision is, but he will not make his next start, which is supposed to be this week. He'll probably miss 1 or 2 starts, depending on how severe the injury is. But we got to see Kendall Graveman for the first time out of bullpen. He looked fantastic. Threw 1 2/3 of an inning, only 1 hit, 1 strikeout, and no walks. But it was Bummer and Hendricks that really struggled. Out of 1 2/3 of an inning, they gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, and 1 walk. Both pitchers really couldn't find their groove, and it costed the White Sox game 1. And then in game 2, Dylan Cease, the Tiger killer, really came out and showed why Dylan Cease can be a huge part to this White Sox team, as he threw 5 innings of baseball, 2 hits, only 1 earned run, 3 walks, alongside 8 strikeouts. It was also a big game from Jimenez and Yasmani Grandal. Aloy with a 2 RBI single, and then Yasmani Grandal with a 2-run home run. Tigers almost made it close as it was 4-2, but Andrew Vaughn, who came in for Pollock, who is out with an injury, we'll talk about that in a little bit, singled and scored Harrison. And then the series tied. They go into game 3 to White Sox, win convincingly 10-1. Michael Kopech made his first start of the year, throwing 4 innings, only 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. The bullpen consisted of Crick, Foster, Graveman, and Banks, who gave up a total of no hits and 5 innings of work, only 2 walks, and no earned runs. And on the offensive side of things, it was the return of Tim Anderson, who was back from a 2-game suspension. He was hot right out of the gate, 3 of 5, 2 runs scored. Luis Robert had himself a hit. Jose Abreu had himself a multi-hit game and 2 RBIs. Josh Harrison had himself an RBI. Heck, Danny Mendick even had himself an RBI. And the White Sox, like I said, went on to win convincingly 10-1. So I think the one thing that is a positive out of this series is the offense that the White Sox had. I think we all can agree that the White Sox offense is going to be very good this year and that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And sometimes, you know, I think with the White Sox offense we saw last year is that, you know, there were slow starts, they were swinging at everything, they weren't taking walks. And something we saw this week was the White Sox score runs in all first innings in those three games. And, I mean, they scored in general a total of 19 runs, which out of teams that played three games, the White Sox are second. Out of teams that played three games, the White Sox are in second in run, or tied for first in runs scored. So them and the Cardinals are the only teams that have played only three games and have scored 19 runs. They also have a run differential of 11, which is third overall in any games. And out of teams that have only played three games, it is first in the MLB. So, yeah, I know you never want to lose the home opener, especially to a team like the Tigers, because, you know, that's a team you can beat. That's a very beatable team, and many people know that. So for the White Sox, I think it was very important for them to come out after that and take those two games very convincingly. I mean, after that, they outscored the Tigers 15-3. I think this is something we're gonna see a lot from the White Sox, is that they know how good they are. They know that they can be one of the best teams in the MLB. So when they do, like, lose a game, I mean, they are gonna take that personal, and I think you saw it right there. But obviously, I think some of the cons of the, or some takeaways were that the bullpen had its rough patches, especially in that first game. Kind of curious to as of why, you know, Liam Hendricks kept throwing fastballs every pitch and didn't use like a curveball, slider, especially to Javier Baez, who only can hit fastballs. And that's all Liam Hendricks threw him on that game-winning hit was fastballs. And Baez, someone that's notably known to chase the outside slider, Hendricks still feeding him fastballs. So, you know, I thought that was just a very curious decision or a curious choice by Hendricks to just approach that at bat like that, and didn't really give Baez much to think about besides throwing or hitting a fastball. But I think you take the pros. I think the offense, I think you also look at the play of Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn had himself a series to remember. Batted 400. He had two home runs, six RBIs. Home runs and RBIs are leading the team alongside his batting average as well. Another guy who had a nice series was Luis Robert. Five hits, batting 385 with a 385 on base percentage. Aloy also had a nice series with the five RBIs. And A.J. Pollock looked really good as well. Now, he did leave the game with an injury, and he is going to be out this week on paternity. So, I'm not 100% sure on how severe the injury is, but even if he didn't get hurt in that last game against the Tigers, Pollock was going to miss this week just due to the fact that he would be on paternity leave. So, even though it sucks to see him get hurt, we'll find out if it's how severe or dangerous it is. And I think you also look at Dylan Cease. I really think Dylan Cease is someone that can make this team go from great to elite, just due to the fact is that he is going to be, I mean, now for the next week or two, he's going to be asked to step in that number one role with Dylan Cease, or with Lance Lynn out for about 2 to 3 months, and Giolito missing the next two starts. Dylan Cease is going to be the number one for the White Sox. Now behind him is going to be Kopech, Vince Velasquez, you got Dallas Keuchel. We'll see when Johnny Cueto gets brought up. But for right now, Dylan Cease is a number one. And for him to throw five innings of baseball, only one hit and eight strikeouts in those five innings, I mean, his stuff looked nastier than usual. I was very impressed by Dylan. And I think Dylan can I think this is a Cy Young season for Dylan. I've been saying it all season long, all before this in the offseason that Dylan Cease can hand himself a Cy Young season. We saw glimpses of it last year, but we didn't really see the full thing. And now this is the year where you can really have an opportunity to see that full thing. And I really think that's where we're heading to. And I'm excited for that. The bad thing, obviously, another is the injuries. Obviously, we talked about it. No Giolito, no Lance Lynn. AJ Pollock got hurt. We don't know. Like I said, we don't know how long he's out, but he is out. Now, Mankata's out for about 3 weeks. Just stay healthy. For White Sox, it really does come down to stay healthy, because if you think about it, this team still has Joe Kelly coming back, Lance Lynn, Giolito, Mankata, even Pollock, if you want to say that. There are Johnny Cueto as well. I mean, he's still trying to get some work in, but this is a team that has a lot of players still coming back. The only player that got hurt and that isn't coming back is Garrett Crochet. He is out for the year with Tommy John. So I think for the White Sox, this is a very deep team, and you just got to just find a way to, you know, eat innings up for the pitching rotation, for the bullpen, for the offense, just find ways to contribute until you get your full lineup in. So with that being said, we talked about how the pitching rotation is a little banged up right now. There were news here Monday night about how the White Sox were targeting, are currently targeting, Athletics ace Frankie Montas. So it was reported today that Frankie Montas and that would be the number one candidate for the White Sox if a trade were to be made between the both teams. And I think one thing that is curious is the Athletics really want Andrew Vaughn. And I think for the White Sox is something you have to look at, because I should just state this. There's no way you should trade Andrew Vaughn for, what's it called? There's no way you should trade Andrew Vaughn for Frankie Montas. There's no way at all that should happen at all. Andrew Vaughn is a huge part of this offense. He's an everyday player. So if you're Rick Hahn, what do? If you're trying to get him. And I think that one interesting thing is that for the White Sox, it's just that Gavin Sheets is probably going to be a notable trade target. Gavin Sheets is someone who kind of doesn't have really an opportunity to play that much this year, especially with the recently acquired AJ Pollock. You look at a guy like Gavin Sheets, do you trade him and someone like Jared Kelly, Garrett Crochet? You know, those are the names you're going to have to trade if you're not trading Andrew Vaughn. And obviously for the White Sox, I'm not saying they're scared and they're making a last-minute change and, you know, they're just on their toes and don't know what to do. But I think they're looking at the rotation and they're like, Frankie Montas is someone that can really help us, not just right now with all these injuries, but can help us in the future. When everyone comes back, Montas goes into, ironically, that three spot. It would push Dylan Cease to that four spot. But you have a guy like Gavin Sheets, who's very impressive, a big left-handed bat, and a couple pitching prospects, young pitchers that can really entice, you know, owners and GMs. It makes that trade very interesting. Now, I don't know what's going to happen just due to the fact that we know that the Athletics want Andrew Vaughn. And I think there's no way in hell that, I don't think there's no way that Rick Hahn's going to give up Andrew Vaughn for Frankie Montas. Maybe if it was Jacob DeGrom or Max Scherzer or Corbin Burns, but I think Andrew Vaughn is pretty untouchable at this point, especially the way he started the season. I think the White Sox recognize that Andrew Vaughn can have a breakout season this year. Last year he played very well, and going into this year, his only deflect was that he needed to work on hitting righties. And, you know, this year, I know it's only three games, but he's been hitting the righties very well. So we'll update you more on the Frankie Montas news. But as right now, no deal has been made, but there have been rumors, there have been rumblings between both teams. So with that being said, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to look at this week's games.
Breaking news.
This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the US and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped work with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code CHI. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast. Jack Thiel here with you guys. If you're just joining us or you maybe skipped to our show, we started the show just talking about how opening day, how that opening weekend went, some positives, some negatives, some injury updates, some signing updates, some trade updates, rumors, and potentially who could be traded to the White Sox. With that being said, let's look at this week's game. So as we mentioned, it is the home opening stand for the White Sox. They'll play a total of 6 games this week against 2 AL teams. The first will be the Seattle Mariners, as Tuesday 3/10 will mark the home opener for the White Sox. Now, according to ESPN, the projected starters will be Matt Brosh for the Mariners. Matt Brosh, a 23-year-old right-hander. And for the White Sox, it will be recently signed over the offseason, Vince Velasquez. Velasquez has kind of had himself an interesting spring training, up and down. He will get the nod in the home opener. And then on Wednesday at 6/10, the projected starters are AL Cy Young winner Robbie Ray, who looked like he didn't miss a beat in his last performance, against left-hander former Cy Young Dallas Keuchel. And then on Thursday at 1/10, it's projected that Logan Gilbert will start for the Mariners. And for the White Sox, that is undecided. Tony La Russa said that could be Dylan Cease's spot, but he wants to give Dylan Cease the extra day of rest, especially at the start of the season, which would lead to Friday's matchup against the Tampa Bay Rays, two of the best AL teams going at it early in the season. It would be Corey Kluber going up against Dylan Cease if things hold. That's at 6/10 at Chicago. And Saturday at 1/10, Luis Patino of the Tampa Bay Rays will face off against Michael Kopech. And then on Sunday to close out the series, it is undecided for the Rays. And for the White Sox, it's projected that Vince Velasquez will pitch. So, looking at these games in total, 6 of them, I can see the White Sox going 4-2. I can see the White Sox dropping Wednesday's game just due to the fact of Robbie Ray pitching and Dallas Keuchel. And then against the Rays are a very tough team. Struggled today against the Athletics, but still, Rays are a great team. In those six games, I can see the White Sox, like I said, going 4-2. I think the White Sox would win tomorrow in the home opener. I think it's going to be a great crowd, raising up the AL Central Champs banner. It's always a great time with the home opener and nice weather as well, which is a surprising this time around in Chicago. And I think just the home, I just think the White Sox are such a better team at home. TA's back. No Pollock, obviously. So Andrew Vaughn should get some more at bats. I think Luis Robert and Aloy are seeing the ball very well. Same goes to Abreu and Yasmani. Josh Harrison has looked nice at second and third base. So I think the White Sox could take 4-2 here. So our final segment, we're bringing it back. Jack's bold takes for this week for the White Sox. We did these last year, and some of them actually hit. None of them hit all at once, but we're going to try that once again. So the first bold take is that Luis Robert hits three home runs this weekend, or this week in general. I think Luis Robert can get some pop off the bat. He is someone that loves to hit home runs, especially at guaranteed rate, and especially with some lefties projected to start in these games. I mean, you have Robbie Ray starting. I know he's hard to hit. You have young pitchers as well, and Matt Brosh, who really doesn't know much about Luis Robert, Logan Gilbert, who doesn't know much about Luis Robert, Corey Kluber, who maybe could get hit off of. So I think Luis Robert hits three home runs in these six games. The next one is I think Tim Anderson in these six games has 10 hits. Think TA has seen the ball very well right out of the gate. He loves the home Chicago crowd. He's pumped about this team. I could definitely see Tim Anderson having 10 hits. My next bold prediction is that Dallas Keuchel gives up less than 2 runs in his start against whoever he pitches. For Dallas Keuchel, it was really rough for him last year. And I think one thing I can say is I confidently can think that Dallas Keuchel went into this offseason with an aggressive approach, an approach that he was not happy with his performance, and that he wants to get better and really go back to what he was in 2020, and he was a really standout pitcher. And another bold prediction is that Dylan Cease goes, whoever he pitches against, goes 6 innings, no runs, and more than 7 strikeouts. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Dylan Cease. I really think he continue this. I just think he can continue this. And I think Dylan Cease is going to be even get better and better as the season goes on. I really liked what I saw from him, and he always pitches well at home. And I think that we could maybe see another great performance by Dylan Cease. And the final bold prediction is that the White Sox go 6-0. Now you're wondering why is that bold? The White Sox are very good this year. But let's not forget that the Mariners are a good baseball team this year as well. They are a loaded lineup. Their lineup consists of guys like Adam Frazier, Ty France, Jesse Winker, Mitch Haniger, and Eugenio Suarez, J.P. Crawford, Jared Kelnick. They're a team that can really hit the ball and can really make you pay. They did tie the series against the Twins, but still, I think that the Mariners, who put up only 10 runs, I think their offense can get hot at any time. And then the Rays are the Rays. They're a very good baseball team. They got killed by the Athletics today, 13-2. But they did start the season against the Orioles. Obviously, you can't say much about that. But, I mean, you look at this team, Wander Franco, Brandon Lau. You look at Jared Lau as well. Or Josh Lau, my apologies. Randy Arozarena. The Rays are always a team that just finds a way to win. And they got great pitching as well. So I believe though the Sox can go 6-0. I think this is a White Sox team. You're playing at home for the first time since the playoffs. You feel rejuvenated. You feel the energy. And coming off 2 big wins in terms of just the offense was there and the pitching was there. I can see this White Sox team being very comfortable going into this home opening stand. So with that being said, that's it for White Sox Nation podcast today. You can always listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any podcast platforms your phone platform supports. That being said, it's your host Jack Thiel saying have a good night and signing off.